Hi, thank you so much for staying with Consider This. I'm Liz Adris, with me is Sharad Kutan. Now, if you've just joined us, we're discussing what happens when a child is deemed stateless here in Malaysia. We speak now to Datuk Dr. Hartini Zainuddin. She's an activist and co-founder of Yayasan Chowkit, which is a 24-hour crisis center that provides meals and educational programs as well as therapy to at-risk children of Chowkit. Now, Hartini, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Tini, we're discussing stateless children, and children who are stateless are stateless through no fault of their own, and yet they suffer incredibly cruel consequences from it. Maybe yes. You can begin by sharing the ways in which children become stateless or can be at risk of becoming stateless.
Well, there are many, many categories on which children become stateless or at risk of statelessness. I'll name a couple of them that are common amongst the activists who are working on the issue. The first one is obviously, but children born out of wedlock. If their mother is not Malaysian, then the child is not Malaysian. And if they cannot be recognized by any other country, it also means that they obviously also cannot be recognized as being Malaysian as well, because Malaysia does not automatically give citizenship to children whose parents are not Malaysian. That's number one. Number two, children who are foundlings, children who are abandoned. We've got a huge issue here on baby dumping and children who are left at the doorsteps of religious temples or outside NGO homes or shelters. Those children have no documents, and therefore they are also deemed stateless because there's no way for them to be able to find out who their parents are and therefore what their nationality is. And then there are all the other things, children who are stateless, who are adopted by Malaysian parents, children who have parents who live abroad and who have children who are born abroad. It doesn't automatically mean that you get citizenship. And the list goes on. We have something like 10 different categories of statelessness in this country. So it's a big problem.
Right. Tini, yeah. Could you help us understand? I know you've worked tirelessly on this issue for years now. Has the conversation changed?
The conversation is louder. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. We have these conversations, we get closer and closer. There is this myth, and it's a myth because it's absolutely not true, that if you give one child who is stateless and you make it easier for children who apply for citizenship, an easier way in to get citizenship, then therefore there will be more children coming and somehow lurking behind trees and standing at the border, all these foreigners, all these foreign children who are waiting to come into the country. But the truth of the matter is statelessness is an internal problem. Out of the 10 categories that I mentioned earlier, 9 of them are children who are born in this country. They're already here. They're born in this country. They are Malaysians for all intents and purposes. Third, fourth generation of children who were born with no documents, whose parents, grandparents, great-grandparents all have no documents. So, for us to perpetuate the myth that these children are foreigners who are lurking in behind trees and at the borders waiting to come in is completely false, because the truth of the matter is most of the children are already here, were born in this country. They can prove they were born in the hospitals. And the issue lies with the fact that citizenship is not an automatic right in this country, and you need to prove it. So you tell me, how is a baby supposed to prove where they're born? Or how is a baby supposed to prove who their parents are?
On that note, I mean, it was just last year that Hamza Zainuddin, the Home Minister, said that, the ministry will be providing some time. I think they're going to give up to a year for those without citizenship to register and then present some proof or documentation. I understand you were very critical of this. Can you explain why you think this may not
work?
Can
you tell me how? It's not may not work. It will not work. That is the most ridiculous statement, I'm sorry, with all due respect to the minister, that's the most ridiculous statement ever. If you're stateless, you obviously have no documents or have very little documents to prove that you're a citizen, right? So can you tell me how 1 year is going to give you enough time to go gather information to prove that you're a citizen of this country? If I have a great story for this. I have a boy who was 19 years old, who was racing to apply for his citizenship for the third time. He had been rejected twice, often, raised by parents, adoptive parent, I mean, raised by these parents who gave him away to Malaysian parents. Mother died, father didn't get along with the adoptive father, he got kicked out of the house. He was alone, yeah? I hope he's not watching this. Anyway, he had to go and find all the papers to prove that, you know, that he has a right to apply for citizenship for the third time. And he had to do it before his 20th birthday, because that's the last opportunity for him to apply under Section 15A of the Federal Constitution to apply for citizenship. So, you know, you think about these kids having to prove, and that the burden of responsibility lies on them to prove that they're citizens. It makes no sense. The citizenship is given by the government. The government is the one who should prove, especially with children, that they have a right to be in this country, and that they should, because children need special protection. And that we know that without Malaysian documents or to prove that you're a Malaysian citizen, you have no access, yeah? You have no access or very little access to all the services that other children here in Malaysia have. Right, access to school,
access
to health.
Yeah, Tini, you know, one clear thing is that the children who are denied citizenship don't go away. They don't leave Malaysia. They don't cross borders and go somewhere. Exactly. So
they
remain
have no passport
with us. So then, then the question
they can't
is,
leave. Where are they going?
My question is, from a public policy point of view, why are we creating a class of people who are part of society, they're part of the fabric, they're going to be here for the rest of their lives, and yet deny them a status that would make them potentially an asset to this country?
Exactly. It makes no sense. There is no sense in this, you know, blanket policy. Our suggestion, and we went up to Parliament a long time, you know, a few years back, was that while you do your investigation to sort of deem that this child, you know, it hasn't got parents who are still alive, who are not Malaysian, you know, and you do your investigation, allow the child certain privileges, and you should ensure that, you know, the application for citizenship and the wait isn't longer than 2 years. Yeah, it shouldn't be longer, actually 1 year. That the wait shouldn't be that long to be able to decide whether the child deserves Malaysian citizenship or not. My daughter waited 6 years, yeah? You shouldn't have to do that, because they have no access and services at all. And if you can say, if you cannot say this child is Malaysian or not Malaysian, then you make the child Malaysian, because where else are they going? They can't leave the country, they have no passports, they have no ICs, they're not allowed to open bank accounts, they can't work, they're at risk of being detained. They have no, you are absolutely, like, you've created a whole automatic underbelly of people who actually have right to citizenship, and you've already made life so difficult from the day they were born. Why?
Tini,
it makes no sense.
Sorry, Tini, sorry to interrupt, but I'm just wondering, you know, based on the work that you do, what happens to children who are deemed stateless? What kind of life do they live?
I have kids who have sort of aged out of being able to apply for citizenship under 15A, because that's for children 21 years old and below, who have threatened to commit suicide. I have kids who are so bright. These kids that I know from Sabah, whose father, by the way, is Malaysian, but the mother is not. And of course, they were not married, and so there was this whole incident, who are the top students in one of the private universities here, who will not be getting their college degree if they can't prove within the 4 years that they are in college that they are Malaysian. So they will graduate, but they will not be getting a certificate. So tell me what happens to them. You know, though there are so many variants, it's a race against time. The interpretation of who is stateless, who is not stateless is so wrong, is so wrongly, I guess, advertised or parroted. I don't think we understand the impact on what it does to a child or to a young person, or to have someone who is 70 years old who have been trying to apply for citizenship over and over again. I tell the story of how my daughter got her citizenship 2 years ago, right? 6 years waiting. And right before we waited to get our letter to say that she was a citizen, there was a 70-year-old lady who had gone in 7 times, and she was crying because she got denied again, trying to appeal to get. I cannot imagine anybody waiting 70 years to prove that they live in this, they belong to this country. It's the most horrific, barbaric, wrong thing to do to a person, to dehumanize them and say, you do not belong, you have no identity, and we don't recognize you. Where are they supposed to go? What are they supposed to do?
Dini, thank you so much for sharing tonight. We appreciate your time. Good luck with the work that you do, Dini. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, Sharad. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but we will be back with more on this topic in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned.